Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and they were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after. They ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you ready for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so.
Amen. The Butterball Turkey Company, this time of year, starts to get a lot of phone calls. One call in particular that they received was from a woman who had found a turkey in the deep freeze in her freezer. She figured it had been there several years, so she called the Butterball Turkey Hotline and said, "Well, is the turkey still good? I believe it's been in the freezer for several years. Can we still eat it?" And they said, "Well, we believe you can still eat it. It's probably still, you know, able to be thrown in the oven and cooked. But you know what? The flavor is probably gone, so it's not going to taste as good, but you can eat it." To which the woman replied, "Yeah, that's what I thought. So I'll just donate it to the church." You know, sacrifice isn't really sacrifice until it costs us something. Yeah, sacrifice gives meaning to something. Sacrifice gives value to things. Sacrifice shows commitment. It shows dedication. And that's what we see in today's text. We've been in a series called Life Lessons, where we've been going through the book of Joshua. In chapter 1, we learn to be strong and courageous. We learn that the Lord's promises are true. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. His promises are real and trustworthy because he is always faithful. In chapter 2, we learned about Rahab's faith to believe no matter how it looked around her. In chapter 3, we saw the Israelites cross the Jordan River. They had a heart to follow. They saw where God was leading, And they went after him. They chased after him. The Israelites were charged with following the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River when it was a raging river. And they did it because they had a heart to follow God. When we follow God, when we're in His will, we will see great things. We'll see miraculous things. In chapter 4, last week, Pastor Debbie talked about remembering all that the Lord has done. As soon as the Israelites got to the other side of the Jordan River, what they did was build a memorial so they would never forget the good that God had done. Because we're good at forgetting things. We only remember the things we really want to. That's why we purchase souvenirs from our vacations, because we want to remember them. Whether it's a keychain, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, you come back with something so you'll never forget. And that's what the Israelites did after they went across the Jordan River. They built a memorial. That was their souvenir to say, wow, we cannot forget. Look what God has done. Now today in chapter 5, we're going to learn about sacrifice. We're going to learn about commitment. The Israelites, they're on the other side of the river. They've got to be excited. 40 years in the desert. And now here it is before them, the promised land. But then there's this city, a walled up city called Jericho. What are they? How are we going to do this? We don't have an army. We don't have tanks. But listen to the opening verse in chapter 5. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River before the Israelites, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. This is going to be easy. It's a piece of cake. No pain required. Following God is a piece of cake, right? He does all the work, we get the blessings, right? Well, if the story ended at verse 1, we could certainly believe that. But no, they added a verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." Ouch. So much for pain-free. So much for easy. This isn't what we want to hear. We want to hear that the Christian life is easy and carefree. What God told Joshua doesn't even make sense from a military standpoint. We're going to take over a city, and you want to do what to our men? That makes no sense. But sometimes the things that we go through in our Christian journey, they don't make sense. But they always have a purpose. God was more concerned about their spirituality. He was more concerned about the condition of their heart than their physical strength. So Joshua made flint knives, and he circumcised the Israelites. So Joshua obeyed God's command exactly as it was told, because God was seeking a people who obediently carried out what he commanded. Deuteronomy 10:15-16 said, "Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer." In Deuteronomy 30, he continues with that same message. "He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. You see, circumcision is about cutting off what keeps us from full obedience to God. What is it that's holding you back from a relationship with God? Are you an uncircumcised Israelite? Is that how you live your life? You're part of the people of God, but not willing to cut off the distractions or sacrifice those things that get in the way of you and God? Do you ever hear the phrase, no pain, no gain? If you go to the gym, that's a very common phrase. Because when we want to get healthy and work out, we say, no pain, no gain, to make the pain worth it. Because working out is painful. But the pain's a sign of muscle being built. You know, nobody's ever gotten healthier by sitting on the couch eating Cheetos and hot fudge sundaes. It doesn't work that way. Getting physically healthy requires sacrifice. It requires pain. Getting spiritually healthy requires sacrifice. It requires pain. Living a successful Christian life is painful. In order to grow spiritually, the Holy Spirit has to strip away the layers of our flesh that are keeping us from doing what God has for us. And it hurts. It stinks. At times we want to throw our hands in the air and say, I can't do it anymore. I quit. But nowhere in Scripture do we ever see that circumcision was done on themselves. Circumcision was always done by somebody else. What does that tell us? We're meant to be in community with one another. Circumcision requires someone else's help. That's why community in the church is so important. That's why discipleship in the church is so important. What do you need help getting through? What struggle are you in where God is circumcising your heart, but you need someone to come alongside and help you through it as well? You're not meant to do it yourself. Look around you. You have brothers and sisters that want to help, that want to help hold your arms up and say, you've got this. We'll help you through this together. A circumcision of the heart, it means giving up things that we don't want to give up. It means doing things that we don't want to do. It's surrendering those areas of our lives that we want to hang around. Because in order to experience the blessings, we must go through the pain of spiritual circumcision. And until that takes place, we're not ready for the blessing. But after the pain comes a healing. Verse 8, after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp, and they were healed. The generation that had left Egypt, that had been circumcised, they died in the wilderness. They weren't allowed to enter the promised land, so they all died in the wilderness before they could get to the promised land. So the ones that are now right there crossing the Jordan River, ready to take the promised land, they hadn't been circumcised. And this circumcision was symbolic. There had to be a cutting away of their old life. They were no longer slaves to the ways of Egypt. This was a whole new generation that God was raising up. But they needed to be circumcised. Before the battle took place, they needed to realize that it wasn't their might and it wasn't their power. It was God who was going to lead them to take over the land. And they needed to realize that they were fully and wholly dependent upon God for the days ahead. And yes, it was painful. But after the pain comes healing. Another common phrase we hear a lot is time heals all wounds. No, it doesn't. Sometimes time makes the wound worse. Like a cut that we ignore and it gets infected. A spiritual wound that's left unattended can become an infection of bitterness in our soul. And then time only extends the pain. In verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." The Israelites had been enslaved. They were in bondage to idolatry, to unbelief, and to rebellion. But in the circumcision of their hearts, in the physical act of circumcision, the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Time may not heal all wounds, but love can. If we want to be healed spiritually, we need to be willing to let God's love do its work in us. And once we go through the pain of dealing with our sin, once we go through the pain of dealing with our rebellion, God heals us and He raises us up again. But only if we allow Him to circumcise our hearts. Only if we allow Him to cut away some of that stuff that we keep holding on to, that keeps us from a pure relationship with Him and experiencing the blessing that He has, the fullness of His presence and power in our lives. You know, Jesus repeated the same message. Cut it off. Cut it away. In Matthew 5, just after the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 29, "If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." God has rolled away the reproach of sin for you and me. When Jesus died on that cross at Calvary, our sins were forgiven. But we need to make sure that we're still cutting away those things that get in the way of the Lord's work in our lives. Lord, is there anything in me that is not like you? Cut it off. Circumcise my heart. Lord, idolatry, am I putting work before you? Do I put my family before you? Lord, cut it off. Laziness. I can't do that today, Lord. I'm too tired to do that. Cut it off, Lord. I don't want to be lazy. I want to see your work in me. I want to see your blessing in my life. Envy. Lord, why do they have things that I don't? Lord, why does their life look better than mine? Cut it off. Pride. I can't believe that person said that to me. I can't believe that person treated me that way. How dare they? Lord, cut it off. Excuses. You know what? My alarm didn't wake me up. Oh, I couldn't do that church thing because this was more important. Was it? Oh, I'm just not feeling well today. I think I just need to stay under the covers in bed. Church won't miss me. Excuses. Lord, cut it off. disobedience. That wasn't the Lord talking to me. The Lord didn't say to do that. I have something else to do. I need to do that instead. Cut it off. Circumcision is painful. But after the pain comes the healing. And you know what? After the healing comes a celebration. Verse 10, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. We can see the immediate benefit of their pain and circumcision. They hadn't celebrated the Passover in so many years. Because circumcision was a necessary part of the celebration of Passover. Exodus 12:48 tells us that a foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat it. And now they're circumcised. Now they're healed from the pain. And now they're able to celebrate. And in their celebration, they were able to enjoy the rewards of the promised land. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. Wow, that's a blessing. The celebration of the Passover marked a turning point for the Israelites. And so they immediately began to live off the land that they were about to possess. The time of wandering was over. The time of eating manna was over. The manna stopped the day after. You see, Israel needed to get past the miracles. They needed a circumcision of the heart that would lead them to a deeper faith and a deeper obedience to God. Circumcision marked a transition from survival mentality to a flourishing mentality. Circumcision marked a transition from wilderness mentality to a promised land mentality. They went from surviving on just manna to feasting on the fruits of the promised land. You see, in the desert, they were just pressing towards a goal that they could only dream of. But now in the promised land, they were believing God for even greater things. Because in the promised land, there's going to be work to do. There were fields to plow. There were going to be seeds to plant. There were going to be harvests to reap. But God wanted them to be ready for the blessing of the work. God has a new provision in store. God is getting ready to pour out his blessing for us as a church. God has amazing things in store for you and for me. But first, it's the pain of circumcision. Then comes the healing. And then a new encounter with God. Listen to how chapter 5 finishes up. In verse 13, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua encountered God. God had a great plan for Joshua, and he needed Joshua to follow through. And after the circumcision, after the healing, after the celebration, Joshua encountered God. He experienced his power. his encouragement and his presence. Now God knew that Joshua was ready for what was ahead. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what this means for us as a church? There are plows, fields that need to be plowed in this community. There are seeds that need to be planted in this community. And there is a harvest that needs to be reaped in this community. In my prayer time, God has said to me, you have been in a season of circumcision. That's what this last year has been. Because you need to be prepared for what I have for you to do. Are you ready for what I have for you to do? Are you ready? Because sometimes we're not ready. We think we're ready and we aren't. Sometimes we miss out on what God has for us because we're fighting against that circumcision because it hurts. We don't cut away the stuff that gets in the way of what God wants to do. But when we fight against that circumcision, then we're not ready for the blessing. We must go through the pain of circumcision if we want to experience God in new ways. We have to let God do his work in us as individuals and as a church. We have to surrender to him and cut away whatever is holding us back. God wants to provide in a whole new way. A way that we could never imagine. He will provide and meet every challenge and every need that we have if we first allow him to circumcise our hearts and then heal us. Church, we need to be encouraged. God wants us to see him in all his glory. He wants us to know that he is going to lead us, that he's going to guide us. He's directing our steps. He's not finished with any of you. He wants to have an encounter with every one of you. He wants you to stand in his presence. Experience his power. He wants you to grab a hold of his hand and allow him to deliver you into every challenge you face. Because God always has a plan. Always has a plan. Circumcision was a covenant with God. It was a sign of a transformed heart. A heart that was willing to follow God no matter the cost. It was about the transformation of a soul that belonged to God and desired his will above all else. Circumcision is just the cutting away of things in our lives that don't matter, that get in the way of what God wants to do. Circumcision allows us the opportunity to be a part of God's grand plan because it takes us out. No, Lord, your will. You see, the only limit to what God can do in the life of a believer is how far that believer is willing to follow him. Because God never hesitates. God is faithful. He's only waiting for people who are ready. Are we ready? I know I am. I am ready to, Lord, here I am. I've spent the last year waiting, Lord. And I hope I'm circumcised. I hope that I have given all the junk that lets me stay down here, that keeps me burdened. Lord, cut it off. Take it. Because I want to be out there. I want the blessing. I want to reap the harvest that you have for us out there. I want to go plant seeds. I want to plow the field. I want to love in ways that matter. That's what I want, Lord. Can I have that blessing, Lord? Can we have that blessing, Lord? That's all we ask. God is calling us to a greater work. He is calling us to reach out and help the hurting. He is calling us to share the hope of Jesus with this community, probably in ways that we've never done before, in ways that we've never thought of before. The blessing is coming. We just have to be ready. Heavenly Father, we want to be ready. We want to be your hands and feet in this community. We want to bring the message of hope to those that are hopeless. We want to bring your love to the unloved. Lord, we come before you today, bearing our hearts, raising our hands and saying, Lord, send us. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we leave this place, may your word be held tight in our hearts. May it challenge us to a new perspective. May it challenge us to see your will and your way. May we be the light that we need to be in the world. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.